Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Be to all in the most holy name of Jesus. We are concluding what we started by the thought I started on Monday. I just want to continue from where we left again in the book of Romans 10. And I would choose from the last sentence where we ended in verse 12 of chapter 10. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord of all is rich and all that call upon him. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we saw of those who are going to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. But Paul asks a question here. This is what I want us to conclude with. He asks a question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? We talk about the faith, believing. And the belief must come from the heart. It must be sincere. But therefore, Paul is asking question: how can they call on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is my last sharing this week. And I want to request for attention. Because they said they can't believe it's true. I mean, they cannot call on whom they have not believed. Excuse me. They cannot believe on whom they have not heard. And they cannot hear without a preacher. It's true. Someone has to preach. Someone has to speak. Someone has to go out with the gospel. Yet, for them to believe, they have to hear. And therefore, the hearing must come from someone who is a preacher. And again, Paul asks, and how can they preach except they be sent? That's where the challenge is. How can they preach except they be sent? Now we will be looking at, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Rather, that perfection cannot come out of anything else but what God is saying. That's conclusive. We can put that. It can never come out of anything else other than the Word of God. And this Word of God must come from a mouth that has been commissioned. That's where the challenge is. Brethren, I know we are living in a time, as I said in the beginning, we are in an age that knoweth everything and knoweth nothing, has everything and has nothing. We must have men that have heard from God. We must have men that have been commissioned by God to go and speak out the word. Could you see, how can they preach except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, let me go to the book of Ephesians 4. Verses Ephesians 4, verse 7. And it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. It is Christ who gave gifts, and he led captivity captive. It is him who made men to be his captives, to be used of him. I want to say this, brethren, that these men, let God help us. Because we know that the time we're living in, God sends a messenger with a message to take us back to the faith of our apostolic fathers. And he was not the end of everything, but he was the guide to take us back to where we had deviated from, to what we had left. And therefore, as God commissioned the prophet, he also has to commission these men. He has to make captivity of them. In other words, he has to make captives of them, that they will not speak what they think, but will speak what the Lord said, what he giveth them. Unfortunately, brethren, we have so many men today who are saying what they think, what they see. It's not about that. It's about speaking what they have been given by God. And he says, how can they preach unless they are sent? So if for sure they have been sent, they will bring us back to the biblical order. They'll give us something that has spiritual power. They'll give us something that is in line. Even they themselves will be witnesses of what God has done in them to make them the ministers of the gospel. I'm not saying they're going to be angelic-like. No, but the Bible is talking about them bringing us something that will make us believe. This man, when they speak, they will make men believe on this Lord Jesus, whom they have not in the past had, so they can call on him from a real source. So the calling on him shall not bring shame, but shall bring victory, because they are calling on him whom they have now believed, because they have heard from a man who has been sent. And this man is a captive of the Lord Jesus. And therefore, when he speaks, He doesn't speak his own ideas. He doesn't speak something he has copy-pasted from somebody. He is speaking what a revelation that he has received from his maker. He has received from his Lord, that is Jesus Christ. But you realize that in the day we're living in, many are speaking what they think is God's word, not what they know. And that's the case, the calling on the Lord does not produce the desired results. We know that God used the prophet in our day, and he used him mightily and greatly. There it is. What he brought was God's word. What we ministers of this day should also bring must be God's word. Now here it is. As how shall they preach except they be sent? And it says, and as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. And bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are their feet? How beautiful are their feet? Because wherever they go, oh God, have mercy. They are going because of show of popularity. No. Or ecumenical come together. No. They are going because God has commissioned them. And they are going to take what God has put in their heart, not what they think. Not competition. Not overlapping or overtaking each other so that we may look, the one they lead. No. This is something that must be from God. Because the Bible says, you know, and this, when they speak, verse 14 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Has the report of this man been believed? First of all, have they been identified with the word? When he is asking that, it's because the report had been sent. The arm of the Lord, he says, who, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Because these men are carrying exactly what God commissioned them to carry. We see Peter carrying exactly what the Lord carried. And we must also carry the same that they carried if we are being taken back there. We must see the outcome. I will tell you something. When these men arise, look at Peter. I will learn something about Peter and Paul. Because poor Peter walked and was with Jesus all the days of his ministry. Paul was not there. Peter gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost, with the other 120. And the 11 start going to preach the gospel, and they go. Paul is called later on his way to Damascus to persecute the church of Christ. But when that light strikes him, and he is told he is persecuting the very Jesus he's claiming to support, he goes out to preach. Paul says something in the book of Galatians. Maybe I can read there. Oh, time will allow us to finish up. He says this. Let me read from verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, Galatians 1, verse 15, from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Amen. Now, he receives his commission from God, and he says he never went to look for King Peter. He never went to look for them so they can confirm to him that he's now with God. No. When the word was revealed to him, he went to Arabia and he went preaching. It's only later on when he came to go and see Peter and the other apostles in Jerusalem, lest he is running in vain, to confirm whether what he has been doing is in line with them that had received the apostolic commission. And when he arrived there, the Bible says that they so heard what he was saying, so what he was doing, and they gave him the right hand of fellowship, because he had received exactly what they received. And I remember one time Paul corrects Peter, and Peter never got offended. But today, you correct a minister. You want to know who he is? Correct him. Call him aside and tell him whatever you're doing, and let's read the scripture. Then see the way he's going to react. It tells us that, is it the same spirit that filled your Pentecost? Is it what will bring perfection to the bride? My brethren, my brothers and sisters, let us not deceive ourselves. Because what came from Christ must be the way it was in the day of apostolic. What is coming to us today must give us, if today I come and meet a brother who is spirit-filled, and I am also spirit-filled, I am called, and he is called, and we are also called together to build the body of Christ, there will be no suspicion. There will be no fear. There will be no worry. There will be no looking down on each other. There will be humility from either side, from me, from my brother, because all of us have been called and filled by the same spirit, because we are called to perfect the body of Christ, and the body of Christ must be perfected, and the men must be called of God. So let's weigh what we are holding, what we are speaking, who we are, what our attitude is towards the word of God, what our attitude is toward other men of God, what our attitude is towards our calling. Because we shall be asked of that which we claim is being perfection. Because being perfection, it must take us back to the days of the apostles. It must bring fruits that are spiritual. In the book, back to the book of Romans, as I conclude, brethren, Romans 10 says, for faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith comes, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For them to believe, it has to be God's word. And I believe that's what God is doing today in the bride. He has raised men because it is his work to raise them. It is his work to bring captivity captive so they can be used for the perfecting of the saints. This perfection cannot come outside outside the word of God. It won't come outside Christ. It has to be Christ. He is the one who said the work. He's the one who's bringing to conclusion. And when it comes to that, I am happy and proud and rejoicing before God that the work he started must come to completion. Whether Kimani likes it or not, it must come to conclusion. It is his work. He is the one who is bringing himself a church that is perfect, that is glorious, that is blameless. And therefore, all of of us must be subject to that leadership of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who ordained the church in the day of Pentecost. He's coming to harvest not less than that which he planted in the day of Pentecost. Let the Lord be praised. Let God help us to be part of that church. It's my prayer that each one of us will be in that church. And if you are not in it, please, brother and sister, strive to be in that church. Strive to be with them that are being perfected. Let God lead us all to this ministry that God has raised to perfect us. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to bless and glorify the name of Master because of your goodness, greatness, and kindness, O Lord. May you receive praise and glory. Help us, Master, to stand on the ground you raised us. Help, O God, your ministers to stand on the ground you raised them, O Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Protect each one of them, O Father. May they walk, O God, be instrument in thy hands, O God, to bring perfection to the bride. Because of what you have done and what you are doing. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen.